As we begin our lesson this morning, I want to take just a minute. Is there somebody there, Terry?
Hmm. I didn't hear anyone.
Okay. I was watching you there. I want to take just a minute to express my thanks to those of you who came to the hospital, those that called, those who have called since, cards and letters and many expressions of concern that I received. And I am so thankful that things are as well as me as they are. I've asked a few people, because sometimes we're our own poorest analyzer. We understand ourself less well than others do. So I've asked several people if they can notice a difference in my mental ability. And only one person said it didn't have far to go. So y'all can take that for what it's worth. Today, as we said, in man's counting of time, this is Mother's Day. And I hope that the lesson today will truly be valuable to all mothers, grandmothers, but I hope it's valuable to the rest of us too. Because this is a lesson today that I believe is at the very heart of why there is so much anger and hatred, so much division and confusion in our world today. You see, there is a combination that it takes to do things right. If you remember, there was a lady by the name of Hannah. Hannah had no children. And she wanted children desperately. So one day she went and she prayed. And the priest saw her pray. She prayed so fervently that there was no sound that the priest ended up rebuking her, accusing her of being drunk. But she was praying for a son. The Lord granted her her request. But when she had received what she had asked for, she made a promise to the Lord that if the Lord would give her a child, she would see that he grew up to walk in the ways of the Lord. Even to the point that she ended up taking that son Samuel back to Eli and having him raise him to understand more about what God wanted of him. What a thought that when we look at our world today, what is most missing is the wisdom and the knowledge that says there is a way that is right and a way that we want our children to walk. A way that is more important than fame. A way that is more valuable than money. A way that will stand them in good stead not only in this journey here, but in the journey to come. It was not long after Solomon became the king that he asked of God a blessing, a favor. He told the Lord that what he wanted more than anything else was the wisdom to lead God's people in a way of peace and goodness. Well, God granted wisdom to Solomon, and we see that wisdom fully on display, recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3. The Bible tells us there were two evidently single ladies who lived together, and each one of them had a baby about the same age. And sad to say, during the night, one of the women rolled over on her child and suffocated it. But the next day, the other lady put up quite an argument, saying, no, the live baby is mine. This dead baby is yours. And so it reached a point where they had to go before the king. Each one claiming, the dead baby is hers, the live baby is mine. Now understand, there was no DNA. There was no way for them to say, but we can make this foolproof. So Solomon said, here's what I'm going to do. Bring me the baby, and I will take my sword, and I will split the baby half in two, and I will give half of it to each one of you. Immediately, one of the women screamed, no, don't do that. Give her the baby. And Solomon said, there's your mother. You think he knew what he was doing? You think he was wise in how he handled the situation? Would any of us have come up with such a brilliant plan? Probably not. But God had blessed Samuel with, or Samson, Solomon with great wisdom. There is something about a real mother. I don't mean someone that simply gave birth to a child. I mean a parent, a mother. There is something about a mother that is fierce, powerful, determined, sometimes consumed with the idea that I will protect my child at all costs. But I want to suggest to you this morning that whether it is a mother or a father, a grandmother or a grandfather, or any of us as we go through life, we need to ask ourselves, what am I willing to pay to be wise? To make good decisions for myself and for my children or my grandchildren. Many people live in this world and they say, I am a good parent because I provide for my children food, clothing, a place to live. I see them go to school. I am preparing for them to set aside money for their college education. I have life insurance. When I die, they'll be taken care of. And so they become consumed with the pursuit of material things. Even though Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing evil about riches. There's nothing evil about money. But when we love it more than we love our own soul and the souls of our children, we're not wise. Whether it is your child, your neighbor, your mate, or your parents, what value do you place on the soul? A long time ago, a man who claimed to be a Christian was quite unhappy. He just could not find peace. And one day a man spoke to him and said, would you like to be happy? Would you like to be at peace in your journey through this life? And he said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to make you a challenge. I'm going to make you a promise. I want you to take this nasty habit that you have, and I want you to give it up for 12 months. And if you will let me take half of what you spend on this nasty habit, I promise you that at the end of a year, I will have converted 5 souls to Christ. The man looked at him and said, I could not give up this habit for a week. What's the value of a soul? Not what is it worth to my soul, but what is a soul worth to you? You see, the Bible tells us that the world around us today is lying in darkness. We have sung songs throughout time that tell us as Christians that we need to sow the seed. We need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lead men out of darkness into light. What's the value of the soul? What's the value of the soul of a child, of a mate, of a parent, of a friend? Many people today do not realize that the majority of souls are not won by religious debate. Most souls are not won because someone was more skilled in the proclamation of truth than someone else. This true story is told. I've told it to those of you here before. A man had gone every year for 15 years to a gospel meeting in a town back in the days when there was no air conditioning. And so the doors and windows were all left open. And across the street from the big doors that were open lived a family, a man and his wife. She was a Christian, a member of the church. He had lived a real rough life. And every night of the meeting for all of those years, the man would sit out on the front porch during the meeting, and he would yell and he would scream and he would beat on things, do anything he could to disrupt the worship. But on the 15th year, the first night, he noticed something different. And so he said to someone after the worship was over, he said, what happened? Did that man die? He wasn't out there yelling and screaming. And someone replied, no. He was sitting on the back seat. Of course, he was quite interested. On Friday night of that meeting, the man walked down the aisle to say he wanted to become a Christian. Well, the preacher had to kind of puff up a little bit. And so he asked the man, can you tell me what it is that I said during this meeting that made you want to be a Christian? And the man looked at him and he said, not one thing. So the preacher said, well then, what made this drastic change? The man turned around and pointed back in the audience. And he said, you see that woman over there? I've been married to her for over 40 years. And she has been a Christian all those years. I have made it very difficult for her. I have begged her not to attend. Every time she would sit down to pray, I would yell and I would scream and I would make noise. I have even reached the point over the years that during the night sometime in the wintertime, when she would be trying to read her Bible, I would snatch it out of her hand and throw it in the fire, only for her to go next door and borrow another. He said, and when she would pray every night, I would do everything within my power not to hear her. But there was no way that I could escape Every night for over 40 years, in every prayer, she would say, "Dear Lord, please save Bill." And 40-something years of hearing her pray for my soul has changed my life. What's a soul worth? Do I even know the value of my own soul? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" There are many rich people in our world today. To some, it is a sign of great accomplishment to be listed as the richest man in the world, the richest man in the United States, or to be on the list of the top 100, whatever it may be, to signify my accomplishments, what I have done. But the Bible warns us that sometimes it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. For sometimes in the pursuit of riches and gains, fame and fortune, we forget what is important. Several years ago, I met a young man, and I really liked him. He had many good qualities. And I got to know him well enough to know that there was something inside of him of real value. But he and his family had gotten caught up. They had two sons and a daughter. And they were often involved in all kinds of activities like traveling, soccer and baseball and so on. And so God and worship got shoved to the side. That went on for several years. And then one day he walked into my office and he said, "You know, I've been a fool. We've chased so many things, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose my children. And now I'm asking you to help me." So we set a time, and once a week I went to their house and we studied. It reminds me of what is written in Proverbs 23:33. "Buy the truth and sell it not. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." I challenge you this morning as we close to think about this. Have you ever said this or heard someone else say it? Many people will make statements like these: "I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to believe what I want to. Nobody's going to tell me what I have to do or what I have to believe. I believe this will be okay." How easy is it for man to fail to understand Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And the real answer is not what do I think, not what do you believe, but what does Jesus say? "Come to me, All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wouldn't it be great if in our great world, America, politicians could have a dose of Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if the religious world could find unity? There is a way. And the way is for mothers and fathers to teach their children the greatest commandment of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And if today, just like when John the Baptist came into the world, the Bible says that he came to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children so that God would not slay them. Wouldn't it be great today if the hearts of parents and the hearts of children could be turned again to the one who died on Calvary's cross? For only through him is there peace and joy and life. Let's stand together and sing.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some for a crown to the old rugged cross. I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to thy home far forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies are
announcements that need to be repeated or made at this time. Remember our service this afternoon at 5 for Bible study. Would you bow for the closing prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we could be part of the worship services at this place today. We pray that our endeavor to worship you has been received and accepted and worthy of your acceptance. We pray that you would help us to walk in your paths, to rely on you, to love you more each day. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Help us to avoid evil. Keep us safe. And thank you for these children with us today. Bless their precious souls and help us to all endeavor to contribute anything we can to their well-being and their nurturance and instruction. Forgive us of our sins in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.